Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. I'm totally depressed in a footballing sense as Manchester United descend into more failure. Is it time for Erik ten Hag to go? Will says yes. I say I don't know. We're also going to be talking about an amazing title race we've got going now. Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal, all challenging Manchester City. Let's get to it. It's the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. You want to start with this really weird topic. It's very niche about, and it's not Birmingham City, Ten Hag out. What's this all about?
No, actually, I thought we'd start with an amazing game. Brentford 1, West Ham 1, which has got the tongues wagging, actually. Scrap that. Wow, what a weekend. Big Ange, mate, shove that up your keister. You can have that. Never doubt me again. Absolutely did a number on Ten Hag.
They were very good.
They were very good. We've got to give them their flowers. But I just think we all know what's going to... Where will Manchester United be in 1 year's time? If it's Erik Ten Hag, it's a sad day for you, the club, and the fans.
What would life be without Ten Hag at Man United? Better or worse?
What would it be without him?
Yeah.
Better.
Tell me why.
Because, firstly, Ineos... They've backed themselves and the manager into a corner here because we all know he's a dead man walking, don't we? Whether it's Rude, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Gareth Southgate, Thomas Tuchel, there's a new manager that's coming to Manchester United. It's about if not, it's about when, not if. And I just think how they've treated him. If like you just know as a player, you can't trust this manager going forward because he's not going to be there.
And I know as a fan, I can't trust these players, which is a bigger problem.
But I think we'll get onto the players in a bit because I don't agree with that at all. And then also on Erik ten Hag, I actually just think he's like last year Manchester United finished 8th in the Premier League.
Thank you.
That's awful.
Yeah, like, won the FA Cup.
And I think the Cups are like almost... The Cups are fantastic. And as a fan, especially the team I support, those days are very special. But for where Manchester United need to go and where they're expected to go, league position is going to be key. And he's just not performing in that. And I think it's just absolutely inevitable that he's going to go. So why not pull the plug?
But you know my biggest issue with this, and I've said this before, and look, the great thing about this is it's the Goldbridge Arms, it's That's Football. So get your opinions in. We'll have United fans, but obviously everybody else can. I'd love a can as well. We've got these lovely Carling cans for the FA Cup, by the way. I'm very tempted to open it and it's cold. But I think that, look, I accept that every club has the right to sack a manager and every fan has the right to say, I want to sack a manager, just as much as every fan has got the right to say, I don't want the manager to be sacked. I'm backing my manager. You know, that's the way of the world. But where I have a problem is I've been on this road for many years beyond doing the United stand. Like I do remember Sir Alex in the late 80s and I remember the 90s and all the success. What is you sack the manager, but what's next? Like for me, I don't see a manager that like is like Jose Mourinho in his prime or Pep's desperate to come. We had this nonsense about Cole Palmer coming to Man United on Saturday. It's incredible. It's not going to happen. Manchester United are a fallen angel. And yes, I agree, sacking Ten Hag is probably going to happen and may well be the right thing to do. But as a United fan this morning, I find no solace in people saying, sack your manager. And I find it amazing that there are United fans out that are just so focused on sacking the manager. I'm looking at beyond that. If they'd sacked him at 10 o'clock this morning, I'd probably be relieved to go, well, I didn't really want it to happen, but at least it's over. You know, it's like being in a relationship with someone you really like and you get the warning signs that they might be up to other, no good. And you're sort of like, well, at least I know now it's over. I've got to move on. But what am I moving on to? Pot noodle and a wank. You know, there's nothing out. There's no.
That has its benefits.
Well, it does. But there's early nights. Yeah. You know, a bit of Football Manager. But there's no supermodel there going, Mark, come out, come and play with me and my friends. And I'm like, well, that's not there. I don't see the optimism in sacking Ten Hag. I see the reality. I do. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, we've got to keep him. My question on the United Stand this morning and to everybody here this morning would be, What do United do next? Because I genuinely think we've been doing this for a decade. I still think, though, I don't trust those players. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I don't see where they go next. But like, I don't see, you know, Harry Potter himself. You need magic.
No, I think that's magic. You don't need magic.
Oh, so a new manager's going to take Man United to the level of Arsenal in 2 years? But I don't see that.
No, but it's not even that. It's just, it's guaranteeing top four every season would be...
I don't think that's achievable.
But it definitely is achievable with this group of players.
Who are Man United? These players are better than Spurs players. They're better than
Villa
players.
I'd say they're on a par with
them. I don't see. I mean, I watch them every week.
I think that's where Ten Hag's taking you down the absolute rabbit hole, that you can't believe that this squad can compete with Spurs and Aston Villa.
Mate, you know
what's happened there?
What has happened? Because I tell you what, you can talk about style of playing, you can talk about tactics. I watched this against Palace and I saw a very focused team playing.
That's a Palace team that is shit.
I saw a system and I saw an effort. That first 3 minutes against Spurs at Old Trafford, and you've got people who can't pass, can't tackle, won't run. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I will accept sitting here and going, Spurs were brilliant, because they were. And I will accept Man United losing yesterday 3-2 to a better side where they've tried and played well. But what I can't get my head around from yesterday is everybody, whether you're a Blues fan or a Wolves fan or whatever, Wolves, I watched them against Liverpool on Saturday night. They lost to the better team,
but they
played well and they gave everything. And they lost. And the Wolves fans aren't going to be happy with that, but they can't say the players didn't turn up. When I saw United yesterday, yes, the tactics weren't great. Yes, the manager's at fault. But oh my God, those players didn't turn up. And I'm tired of that as a United fan. This has been going on with Jose, Ollie, Van Gaal, Ten Hag. You don't know, as a Man United fan, whether your players are even going to turn up, let alone...
Yeah, but
lose.
But that's still on the manager. And we're in the era of...
So it's my job as your boss if you have a bad day.
No, but like, you instill a culture into here that makes it like we can do this and do that. So when you know what the sort of the way we're going is, you believe in that. And we turn
but
up.
If you turn up, if you decide you're not going to do it,
yeah, but
why?
Yeah, but why would I do that?
Because I'd sack you if you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. But we're in the era of systems and philosophies, aren't we?
I wouldn't.
We're in the eras of systems and philosophies. And you've only got to look into sort of like a microcosm of this season. Arne Slot turning up at Old Trafford and doing what he did to Ten Hag. Absolutely out-tacticking him. But let me finish. Big Ange doing exactly the same thing. And we're 2.5 years into Ten Hag. Like, people say Ten Hag ball. I don't know what that is. You can list the things out, but that's never on display. It's like me going, my nickname at home is the Weasel. I didn't want to be called that, right?
First, I can understand why.
First, it's because we call it pull
a
face.
Is it because of your nose?
It's because
of,
yeah, and pull a face.
And your personality.
Yeah. And my furry cock. Yeah. But it's because I didn't want to be called that. So for a year, I was like, everybody call me Crouchy. Nobody called me Crouchy because it was never going to stick. So Ten Hag's going, this is Ten Hag ball. No one calls it Ten Hag ball. No one knows what it is. We're 2.5 years in. We're in the era of systems and philosophies. And Big Ange, Arne Slot, with less time, less resource, maybe not less resource, but definitely less time, have implemented that style of play.
I can't do that, though.
What? Call me Weasel?
No, I can't do the whole look at Arne Slot, look at Maresca.
No, but look at Ange.
Look at Brighton. I can't do that because we're Manchester United.
Oh God!
No, we are Manchester United. And it's been going on for a decade, and you can't compare what Liverpool have done. Like Arne Slot's done amazing, right? But that is massively about the players. Any Liverpool fan knows this. Those players already know what is expected, demanded, minute in of a Liverpool player. And he's a good coach and he's got good players. At Manchester United...
No, but do Tottenham.
Tottenham do not have the pressure or expectation of Manchester United. They don't win things.
No, but you've just said Aston Villa and Spurs.
Ange's biggest problem there, as we've already discussed, is getting bottlers to actually believe in themselves.
Yeah, but you just said Aston Villa and Spurs.
I think Ange would be a very interesting appointment for Man United, by the way. I've said it before, because his personality is very in your face. Yeah. Get out of my fucking club, you cobber. but, you know, Ange would be a very interesting person. Somebody said Simeone today. An absolute shithouse is probably what Man United need. But then, you're still dealing with... look, I said this yesterday and some people took it the wrong way. I don't know what your thoughts were about the lad up front, Xerxes. I like him. I hope he's going to be a good player. But oh my God, he was the quintessential...
Cartles.
Rabbit in headlights. Just look absolutely bereft of confidence, lost in the vacuum of pressure and enormity of the game. And
yeah, but even the way bloody Ten Hag's dealt with that, like scores the goal, then doesn't start, then comes on against Liverpool and gets absolutely eaten alive, and rightly so. I just think every game he's making a bad decision, and every game he's being outmanaged by another manager who ultimately has had less time. Like, Crystal Palace just lost to Sean Dyche's Everton, and like
watched the game.
Yeah,
they shouldn't have lost.
Well, but they did lose.
Absolute farce.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll get on to
the penalty. Dominated them.
You're changing the point.
You didn't watch the game.
I did watch the game. I watched it on Match of the Day, and I thought Theo Walcott is an excellent pundit who's going to go far in the game. But more on that later. I just think you said earlier Aston Villa and Tottenham have got better squads than Manchester United. So there is a level of expectation there that they're living up to.
I think we're getting lost in something here that is Ten Hag in and Ten Hag out.
Ten Hag out, get him gone.
No.
Get Southgate in and let's get on with it.
Well, you've just lost anything you did well in the last 5 minutes. There's people in there going, go on, Will. They've just gone, oh God. You know,
no, Southgate in is
can
just
I change my mind.
Southgate in is just for the day that we step in here when he's been appointed Monday morning.
I'm gone.
Oh God.
I'm out of football.
Can you actually imagine?
You know, Daniel Day-Lewis walked away from acting, one of the best actors of all time, and he's now a carpenter in France. If Man United appoints Southgate, I'll take my $4 million and I'll be a carpenter.
You won't have any wood.
And I'll have lots of wood, and I'll be a carpenter in County Mayo.
Back in Ireland.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Drinking Guinness and retired. But no, I think what I'm trying to get at here is I do not want it to turn into a Ten Hag in, Ten Hag out thing. That's not what it is. I actually said...
It's the name of the stream.
I wanted Ineos this morning to make a statement one way or the other, and they have. They've basically come out and backed him and said he'll be in charge for Porto and Villa because they've
Oh, brilliant.
It.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers, lads. That's two more games. Thanks very much.
But you know what? I'd rather they've done that than leave us in this...
And what do you think they're doing in them two games?
Finding another manager.
Exactly.
Yeah, I said it this morning, he's gone. The international break will be a busy one for Man United.
And as well, I was reading, and I don't know if it's true, you'll be able to correct me, but like because he signed a new contract, it's going to cost them more money to get rid of him now than it is with the wage redundancies that they've done. So Ineos have got a lot to...
What do you think about Ineos, actually? Because this is one thing United fans haven't really spoken about, and I'd like to get the opinions of Chelsea and Arsenal and United fans as well. How do you think... You know, forget Ten Hag for a moment, because I want to come back to Ten Hag and the players, because I'm not saying keep Ten Hag. What I'm saying is, what's next? What's the expectation? Because I don't see a massive glow up. I see, like Niall was saying with Rude, you can see a similar thing to Ollie, but long term, probably not going to work. Ineos, Glazers are still there. I wanted them to keep Ten Hag. I'm never going to apologise for that. He just won the FA Cup. It's 2 years, and I think you should have 3 years. It's a trilogy. And look, Mourinho had 3 years. Ollie had 3 years. They were gone by Christmas. We've seen this movie before. Ten Hag's probably gone by Halloween. Not even Halloween. What's at the start of September? What's the start of October? Anything in America going on? You know, so, you know, he's going to be gone very, very quickly, but he should be given the year three. I'd always wonder what, but I don't think Ineos pissed off Ten Hag inners and outers in May because the outers were like sack him and the inners were like back him, and they sort of went, we're not backing him because we're going to interview other people, and now we're not sacking him because we think he's the best of the rest. So they didn't appease anybody, and they actually, what they should have done after the FA Cup final was sack him or back him, and they took ages to do it. So I think where they are now is that in everybody's eyes, people are probably looking at them as this new regime that needs to be amazing, that still works with the Glazers, and actually the way that they've handled the Ten Hag situation and spent a lot of money on him, if they sack him straight away, they look, well, you know, whether they end up being incompetent, they've made themselves look.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people were slagging off Ugarte yesterday and De Ligt and Mazraoui. They're not Ten Hag. We all know because they've done the PR. No, it's no longer Ten Hag saying what happens. It goes through the committee, Dan Ashworth, Berarda. So they've kept Ten Hag. They've brought these players in. They sacked Ten Hag. They don't come out of it looking, you know, great. In comparison to Liverpool, who with Slot said, we want to bring you in, but there's no money. We want you to carry on the Klopp project. Are you happy with that? Yes. And look how it's worked. So
Yeah, but you mentioned Liverpool there. It was a point I was going to bring up earlier. Like, their number one choice, which we all know, was Xavi Alonso.
Mm.
And they didn't get him. And look how easy it was for them to pivot. So I just find it hard to believe.
Well, they had to pivot.
Yeah, but they had to pivot. But Man United have to pivot now. And I find it hard to believe that the way Ineos want to go, that there's not a man that they can attract to bring to Manchester United, because it still is an attractive proposition. But go on.
Ben says, with a super chat, as a United fan, we have to stick with the manager and break the cycle. It's more important to more important, and I love the content. And that's my favourite bit about it. We've nearly got 10,000 watch. We've never done 10,000, so make sure you are sharing the video and smashing a like and getting involved. That would be great. Would you take the job, Goldbridge? I'll tell you what.
Actually would believe that you could do a better job, and that's probably the most concerning thing.
You got to believe yourself.
My mum
always said to me, you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
Anything you want to be. You can be Mr. Superman. You could
Space
be Superman.
Man.
You could be president. You could definitely, she still rings me up now, you could definitely do a better job than any manager in that league. And I just need that every Monday morning just to make me feel like I'm great. But no, I mean, look, I'm sure any United fan feels that they could do a better job this morning. But I think whoever goes in there, you've got to make an omelette. You've got to crack a few eggs. And I always go back to it, and people were getting annoyed yesterday, but I look at that Manchester United side and I go, honestly, if you want me to name the players, I will happily do it. I don't think Onana is good enough as a shot stopper. I think, you know, but he's a Ten Hag signing. You know, this is your Ten Hag fan. Onana is a Ten Hag signing. He wanted that ball-playing goalkeeper, which we haven't done. And his shot stopping is no better than any goalkeeper in the bottom half. So, you know, that's something you look at Schmeichel, you look at De Gea, they're going to save your shots. You've got to have a goalkeeper like that. I look at Rashford, you know, boring topic, but very inconsistent for what he is. You know, you look at Bruno yesterday, wasn't a red card, but he was poor before it. There are problems all over that football club.
I thought
club.
De Ligt was really weird. Like, I don't know.
They're all shit, mate.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. And 80%, well, I don't know what the actual percent is, but the majority of the signings in that Manchester United squad are from Ten Hag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you go...
That's the worrying thing about it for
no,
me.
No, but when I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's like not misleading, but just been misappropriated. Like when you say the players... we've had this before with the players. I think a lot of people construe that as like the same group of players.
No, they're not listening. Because what I said is that I've seen this performance under Van Gaal.
Yeah.
None of those players are there. Mm. I've seen this player under Mourinho. Maybe one player
But I think that's
there.
Modern football, though. I think, like...
Oh, but you know what? I don't know, because I don't...
Honestly, we had it at Blues. Every time, there was like a core group of players that would, like, down tools. It was the same group of players. So it happened at every level. So I just think that's modern football. So you have to get over that fact. And you're not going to break the cycle by keeping Erik ten Hag.
I watch Arsenal a lot. I watch Man City a lot. I watch Liverpool a lot. I mean, even when Liverpool lost to Forest...
But what do you have with those managers? I believe in Pep. I believe in Arteta. I believe in Ange. I believe in Arne Slot. I don't believe in Erik ten Hag stood on the sidelines.
No. But I disagree with this, though.
His systems are awful.
I disagree with this. I genuinely don't think Pep Guardiola would make that Man United side fight for a title.
No, but they're not saying that.
It's not in their heads.
That's not
in their heads.
That's not the problem. We're just saying top four. We sat down when Ineos came in and we said, Erik ten Hag.
You don't get top four in this league if you haven't got the mentality, though. And like,
yeah, but that's instilled by Erik ten Hag.
No, I think every United fan is looking at that game yesterday and going, yes, Ten Hag probably will go or needs to go or is going to go or isn't going to survive. Absolutely. But I look at that team yesterday and I still don't understand. 75,000 fans, Old Trafford, you know you've got to put a performance in, and Dalot doesn't track back the back post.
Yeah.
Rashford doesn't fancy a 50-50. Van der Ven runs through the whole team.
But that's the manager.
No.
It is the manager.
It's not the manager. Mate,
if you don't believe
it, that is not the manager. So Rashford sees Van der Ven on his own pass and doesn't go in for a 50-50 because of the manager.
I think
Dalot doesn't track the back post because of the manager. You know, Martinez and Mazraoui and Ugarte let Van der Ven run through and don't take a yellow card because
100%.
Of the manager. That's personal pride.
No, I think, there is personal pride of that, but then there's also an extra 10-20%.
Do you think a driving instructor is driving around for the AA, crashes the car into the lamppost and goes, not my fault, it's the AA, their car, they employ me, Yeah.
No, you're
irresponsible for your own actions.
No, but at the top level of football, if there's a 5-10% drop off in that, and especially when you're playing a side that of a similar quality or better quality, you are going to be exposed. And that's what happened yesterday, because there's not that believability in Erik ten Hag being the manager for now, then, and in the future. So you know you've just got this guy who's basically a puppet there at the moment while they wait for the next one. You are going to drop off in level of performances. And you can't
tactically,
Tactically, yeah. And look at the first goal. The right back's been dragged away by Timo Werner. Well, if you've seen him misfinishing, you go, let him have the ball. Then it creates the space open there. It's just absolutely day one defending.
I'm not having it.
That's where I think you've got the blinkers on, mate.
No, I've not got no blinkers on. I watch Man United every week for most of my life.
I'm not saying you don't, but I just think he's absolutely got to go.
No, but you're not wrong, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. And I think a lot of United fans agree with me on this. The tactics yesterday, we already know about this. We've spoken about it for what feels like an eternity. But there is also, it's like when there's a problem, It's not just one person's problem. And I think what United fans find frustrating is that everyone just goes sack Ten Hag. And then we're like, but what happens then? We've still got these players that won't turn up every now and again.
Yeah.
And we've still got, a board problem. We've still got debt. You know, I'm agreeing with you. Like the Ten Hag conversation, I'm not saying Ten Hag in. I think some people think I'm going Ten Hag in. I'm not. I'm like, if they'd sacked him this morning, I would not be crying. I'd be like, thank God it's over. I wouldn't sack him. I don't even know what I'd do at the moment. I don't see a solution. But if we sack him, I think we'll be back here doing this podcast in a year's time saying, maybe Ruud needs to go, or maybe Tuchel needs to go. I don't see, you know what? I said it this morning on the United Stand. You know, sometimes in life, there is no easy solution. Sometimes there is no better choice. And people are acting like all you got to do is sack Ten Hag and you'll be fine. We've done this 4 or 5 times. I don't know what United do next, because you make a good point. Most of the squad for Man United now is Ten Hag players. Yeah. The big problem is 2 or 3 of the non-Ten Hag players are leaders, like Rashford, Bruno, Luke Shaw, but there's hardly any left. The next manager comes in, and if you're right about Ten Hag, what if some of these players he's bought aren't good enough? You've got to get rid of them again. No, I mean, there's a few, isn't there? So I think, I hate to say this as a United fan, I'm sure rivals will be saying keep Ten Hag, but as a United fan, I'm probably not in the minority on this. I think most United fans this morning are like, well, let's sack the manager, but you know, when we sacked Van Gaal for Mourinho, I genuinely thought, this is going to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Ollie thing, because he was an ex-player, I thought, ooh. And then Ten Hag, I was like, ooh, we've got a hipster.
But that's being a football fan, isn't it?
He's the new Klopp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not, the next manager's not going to, that's really sad, but the next manager, I'm not going to go, ooh, we've got Tuchel, or ooh, we've got Ruud. I'm going to be like, you know what it is? It's trust. I don't trust anymore. I remember speaking to a United fan a few years ago who was an older fan, and not Ricky, and they were like, from 68 to winning the Premier League, I don't think people realise how hard it was to win the league every year you didn't do it.
Yeah.
And you sense that at Old Trafford now. It's like this, somebody made a great point yesterday. I can't remember if it was Neville, probably not, but it was something along the lines of the pressure. You can see the pressure on the players. And I watched United in that first 20 minutes. Oh, it was Neville. Neville said, I don't think these players aren't trying, but I don't understand why they're not playing well. And my theory on it is I just think in that first 20 minutes, you look at Spurs away from home, pinging the ball around. And can we just say again, Spurs were fantastic.
Spurs were brilliant.
But you look at United, they had opportunities on the ball, couldn't string a pass together, couldn't control the ball. And I was like, it's almost like they're terrified. It's almost like the pressure is getting in there. And look, I've been in my back garden doing keep-ups, and I can do 200. Get me on stage and the pressure's a little bit, I can only do 190.
It's over, didn't
you? Yeah. But so there's nothing you can do about that pressure.
No, but I disagree completely, because I think when that pressure comes and that lack of confidence comes, the first thing you do is rely back on the system. And that system is so built in and entrenched to Tottenham, like the way that they were doing the blocks and everything, is a bit too over my head, the tactical analysis. But the way that they were doing that is because if there is the pressure, they revert back to type and they know what they're doing. With Erik ten Hag, I mean, the lip was all over the place. Everyone was all over the place. It just felt they were doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. And that boils back down to the manager. We're in a systems philosophy era, and we're 2.5 years in, and that's not on display.
It's interesting. Will thinks that a new manager and a system will make Man United fight for top four. I'm not so convinced.
I think it would be very damning if Chelsea get top four this season with Maresca coming in with all the pressure that we've put on him, the squad turnaround like that. If Chelsea beat Manchester United to a top four, I think that's very damning. Because he came in, like, we'll come on to it.
Chelsea's not Man United, though.
Yeah, obviously it's Man United. But like, we're going to have to come on to it. And like, I think there's apologies going to be dished out to Maresca because the way he's turned that around that. And I'm basically saying there, top four is up for grabs. Between you...
No.
Villa, yes, it is.
We're out of top four.
But that's where Ten Hag's taking you, mate. Ten Hag's taking you down. It's like a bad relationship.
I would say that if Man United want top four, now's the time to make the change. We've only had six games.
But that's what I mean. It's achievable with a better manager.
I don't think it is.
It's 100%.
I don't think it is. But interesting to see if it will. Let's just quickly sort of throw in a few referee stuffs because I just want to sort of like do a public announcement here. And in no way. Am I saying that if Bruno gets kept on the pitch that Man United get a result? Even though, what was the final score? 3-0? United did have a couple of chances, but Spurs had loads. It wasn't going to make any difference. But I've got to say that just because it's all about Ten Hag today, and get your comments in, and we'll certainly continue talking about that. But, it's a podcast for football. I've got to say that it was a shocking weekend for the officiating in the Premier League yet again. And I think they'll be very happy that United lost because it will just swallow up every bit of news. But starting with that red card, I couldn't believe... I didn't, when you see something and we weren't at the game, we haven't got the cameras, but I'd say 99% of the time when you see it, even though it's on TV or you're in the ground, you're probably right. And then sometimes you'll see a replay and go, I got that completely wrong. Mm. Didn't think it was a red card at the time. But the way the referee got that red card out, I was like, have I missed something here? This must be like one of the worst tackles ever. No hesitation. It was literally main star syndrome again. I want to be the centre of attention because I just couldn't believe he'd given a red card for that so quickly. I wouldn't have minded if he'd gone to the monitor or something like that, but he absolutely acted as if he'd seen a blatant 100% red card, and it clearly wasn't.
No, I think what's happened is like the way when you there is angles when you first see it in real time as well that it looks like one of those like lungy high late challenges.
Do you think he just doesn't see the slip?
He definitely doesn't see the slip, and I think the way the Spurs players react as well, because they probably think in the same way, or being gamesmanship, either way it's worked, they've like reacted as if he's lunged. And also just because of they were 1-0 down, Bruno's got that reputation. I couldn't believe it was his first red card for Man United. I think that they've played the system well there, but I actually do think, like, me and Niall were having what we'd call a heated debate about it, and Niall was like, he slipped. Well, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter, he slipped. But then actually in hindsight, I think it does matter because the intent's not there, is it? If you'd given a yellow, I think you could have cracked on.
There's a lot of people saying it was a red. I think for me, it comes just down. The big problem I have with it is I don't mind it being a red if they take the time.
Yeah.
But what bothered me is how quick he got it out. And then VAR is always going to be a bunch of cowards.
Yeah.
Because
it was Michael Oliver, wasn't it?
I don't know who it was. But
no, it wasn't.
It's like a penalty, isn't it? Like, we'll talk about the Anthony Gordon penalty in a bit. But if it gets given on the pitch, it will be a penalty. If it's not given, they won't overrule it. And the red card, it's one of those. If he gives a yellow, there's no way they're going to go, you should give a red.
The Robert McCormack, thank you for your super chat. They've just said live on Ref Watch, which make sure you go and watch that if you want to fall asleep, that the Lino gave the decision or informed the decision.
Well, I tell you what, the Lino must have literally gone, get your card out really quick.
It
must have said, get card out. Red.
Red,
it must
red,
have
red,
said red.
Red.
Because, no, I don't buy into that. I think they got it wrong. And I think... when you watch it, and that's what VAR is for, surely, when you watch it, it's never a red. For me, a red card is when you go out to, recklessly tackle someone.
No, but that's what I think. To give the referee, like, and I get your point, so he should take his time, and that's what VAR is for. In that moment, I can understand it just looks like a lunge. But yeah, I agree with you, and then take your time.
And that's where VAR should come in and go, hold on a minute, we can see
but
why.
But they backed themselves into a corner now where they go, well, we have to support the referee, really.
But look,
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
In the context, look, I'd hate that to happen to Arsenal or City or Liverpool next week in a game that matters. That, funnily enough, it's a weird one.
Yeah.
It was an injustice. But it really didn't matter. I thought one that did matter, just quickly, we'll just go through some of the refereeing decisions. I saw some from the weekend. Big shout out to Palace at Goodison Park. Great 3 points for Everton, but Everton had two shots and scored. Mm. Palace had more possession, more shots, and definitely should have had a penalty. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'd sort of... I'd sort of I'll always look to let the referee on the pitch off because it's a difficult job, but I don't know what VAR's thinking there. I mean, it's a prime penalty on a replay, it's not an orthodox tackle by Tarkowski. It's just
it's on the line as well.
You know, they've had a bad start to the season, Palace as well, and that's a, you know, against Everton, it's a big game. You take a point there, it's much better than losing. And I just
Selhurst Park's obviously a tricky place to go.
Liverpool are there on Saturday. Oh, that's a tough one, Liverpool. But I can't say that anymore. Let's get serious faces. Absolutely disgusting.
The biggest one of the weekend for me, I think Calafiori. I don't know how that's not a yellow card again. Ref watch. We were just watching the clip. It said apparently because Thomas Partey was tracking. I don't think you can 100% guarantee that, and even the tackle was quite bad. They were in attacking position. The game was at 2-2 then, so I think he's very lucky not to have seen a second yellow card.
Yeah, two more. There was one in the Villa Ipswich game. Can't blame VAR because they can't get involved in a yellow card, but there was a stamp down on a Villa player when he was already on a yellow card.
That was fine for me, play on.
Yeah. Well, I thought that should have been yellow. But we like to bring little niche things in. You never know, it might go viral.
Go on.
You never know what's going to go viral,
really.
You don't know what's going to go viral. But there was one I want to bring in, and I think we want to do this on the podcast because, you know, there's so many people doing podcasts. There's so much mainstream coverage that a lot of things just get spoken about in a different way. I don't think anyone's going to talk about this. So last weekend, you know, we want to have themes to the show. We were talking last weekend about Trossard's second yellow card and how I thought there's so much inconsistency in football. And obviously Declan Rice has had it. We saw Trent booked against Wolves very early on for kicking the ball away, but this is the one I'm going to talk about because it's about my club, so I can't be accused of, you know, being biased here, because Ugarte should have got a yellow card. There was a free kick given on the halfway line and he had the ball in his hand, which he picked up, and then he threw it away and the referee saw it and just went play on. And I thought, hold on a minute, like that is, if I'm an Arsenal fan, I'm absolutely fuming, because it's nothing to do with Man United or Ugarte. It's the officiating again. And this is the message to Howard Webb and the PGMOL. Your game is riddled with inconsistency that will ultimately derail the integrity of the Premier League through idiocy, where last weekend we see, well, he kicked the ball away. So by the letter of the law, he's down to it. He's sent off and Arsenal play 45 minutes in a title race game, which will be pivotal. And then we watch Man United against Spurs. Ugarte throws the ball away. No, we just won't bother with that. And that's what absolutely frustrates fans, because it's like you can't do one and you can't do the other. And also, just going back to the Trent one, Will, I think they're banging their head against the wall on this. You can't start giving yellow cards for kicking the ball away and throwing the ball away, because it's very obvious to me that Trent Alexander-Arnold knows if he kicks the ball away, he's going to get a yellow card, and he does it. And the reason he does it is because human beings are not robots. They're emotional people. And when a free kick's given that you don't think it should be, you will kick the ball away. It's just a natural human reaction. So I just think this whole thing is stupid. And obviously Arsenal have been the biggest victims of it so far, but it's just so flawed and we don't want that.
Well, exactly. And they've backed themselves into a corner by giving the yellow cards for the small ones and even the little ones. But I think if you've played the game and you do it, like, I just think there's a bit more common sense needed. So the Ugarte one, the way that they've put themselves into the corner this season, they have to give a yellow card for that.
Yeah.
But we all know first half, it was 0-0, I think, then?
Yeah.
Or they were losing. So there's no need for Ugarte to time waste. Like, it doesn't really...
It's just a natural... I don't blame Ugarte. I'm just... What I'm saying
That's what I mean. Like, the referee just needs more common sense. It's like game management, isn't it? When...
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying about Michael Oliver last week. He didn't need to do that. He follows the letter of the law and goes, I'm just doing my job. And then...
What's his name in the Arsenal Spurs one? Gerard Gallet.
Yeah.
Like... Absolute terrible game management. You've got a North London derby, both sides going at it, and you're dishing out yellow cards for that. They're just backing themselves into corner, and then not changing the rules for suspensions for getting five yellow cards now. You could literally probably stand on the pitch and you'd be like, right, there's a yellow card.
He's so inconsistent. Talking about him, I didn't realise how bad a referee he is, actually. He did the Man City Newcastle game, and I tweeted it at the time, and people think it's a Man City obsession, which it is, but it was... I thought, because Rodri was injured, I thought Ruben Diaz was the captain. And twice in the first 10 minutes, he runs 20 metres and he's shouting at the referee. And I'm like, hold on a minute. That's a directive you could do something about. I mean, that's not human nature. That's not kicking the ball away in the heat of the moment. That's running 20 metres to shout at the referee when you're not the captain. No yellow card. Grealish throws an elbow. No yellow card. I just thought, it must be so frustrating if you're an Arsenal fan, because You probably would have won at the Etihad, and you didn't because you got a player sent off for something that no one else seems to be getting. And you probably would have beaten Brighton.
No, but with Trossard's one, I mean, he absolutely launches it.
I know, but the Declan Rice one as well. So Arsenal could quite easily say we should have at least another 2 points and other clubs haven't been punished. It's just ridiculous, in my opinion.
I'm glad.
But Anthony Gordon, do you think it was a penalty? Because Shearer apparently said not.
Well, yeah, Gary Lineker made a big point of this on Match of the Day, saying he texted his good mate Alan Shearer that he said Anthony Gordon's wasn't a penalty. Which I just found very bizarre. One coming from a Newcastle fan and legend.
I think they should have had another one.
Which one?
Was it Joel Linton when Kyle Walker just like put his leg across him and didn't get the ball?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
What I'm saying is Newcastle definitely should have got one penalty in that game. And I thought Anthony Gordon did what loads of people do. You're going to go around the keeper.
They slowed it down as well. He gets chipped by Edison.
Yeah.
Let's go. We've done Man United. Oh, just to finish on Man United as well. I turned on when you were 1-0 down, and then I was like, well, here we go. 1-0 down, Bruno sent off. Let's get to the halftime studio for Roy Keane.
No, yeah.
Oh, my God. He got Darren Bent, good lad, but like... When you're expecting Roy, Ashley Young. I mean, what an absolute final kick in the dick if you're a Man United player. Ashley Young, after his performances for the last 18 months, commenting on yours. I just thought it was...
I told you Sky fell off.
No, well, I just couldn't believe it. Like, even get Neville in there for the half-time, it was absolutely honking.
It was really bad. Like, I mean, I don't know what they're doing on Sky. Sometimes I just turn... And people will say you're just being bitter, but like...
Well, to be positive, Theo Walcott on Match of the Day, absolutely brilliant.
I don't watch Match of the Day anymore because you can watch the highlights really quickly, can't you, at 5:30. But I just look at Sky sometimes, I turn it on and there's just another guy in white trainers and an overshirt. And I'm like, who are you? And then, like, Man United Spurs, like you say, that should be Roy Keane.
That's got to be Roy Keane. I know Carragher's not, like, linked to any of the club. I'd rather have Carragher in there than, like, some of them.
I know, madness.
Sturridge has been great. Get him in there.
Let's talk about Cole Palmer. We'll go back to United and stuff.
I also just want to say again
for the fourth time, because I feel like we said on Friday that whoever lost between Spurs and Man United, it would be in crisis on Monday. And obviously we've spoken about the Man United crisis, but let's not forget the fickle nature of football. That is, if United had won yesterday, as miraculous as that sounds today, then it would be Ange out. You know, that's
well, the pressure's been on Ange as well.
Yeah, so I thought they were fantastic.
But it did feel inevitable, yes. I predicted a Spurs win.
You predicted a Spurs win, but I also said someone's going to get a battering from Spurs because everything suggests that their results
are not... And also their best
not...
player's not playing.
Yeah, but, you know, they've been playing... Brennan Johnson, I don't know what all the stick's there for because he's really reacted
to
that well.
I think he's stopped that stick, hasn't he?
Mentality. I mean, that's the mentality you want at United.
Yeah.
That's how you deal with pressure.
Pressure. Pressure's for tyres.
Yeah, good one. Look, Spurs will be very interesting to keep an eye on because Spurs just got to hit some consistency. But we've spoke Man City drew at Newcastle. Good point for Newcastle. Man City just looked a bit hungover, to be honest.
Our Manchester City, Mark, a one-man team.
What, Rodri?
Yeah.
No. I think Man City have got a really good run of fixtures now, and they'll probably win their next four. They're a fantastic side. I think the title race is on if teams like Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, Aston Villa, Arsenal can start taking points off them. That I think the strength of those teams will make it a title race because Man City are still going to go and push over the bottom half, piece of piss, you know, Rodri or not. But we need more of those Newcastle performances where people actually stay in the fight. And look, Newcastle had no Isak. Botman's out till the new year. No one ever talks about Newcastle. No one ever talks about the fact that they can't get the money into the club. And nobody ever talks about...
We don't have to sell their Gabby.
Their injury record is abysmal. So, you know, I don't see Newcastle getting in the top four. I think the top four is too tough for them. But
also, I was thinking this morning, like Eddie Howe, if Manchester United are looking for a manager, like... Absolutely. I don't know if he'd go, but like...
I see him as a rabbit in the headlights.
Oh, to completely disagree.
I mean, this is the point. I don't... Who walks into Man United?
I just feel with Dan Ashworth there as well, but like to get him across as well would be... Like Newcastle ain't going to want to do that after everything.
If United are going to... I mean, tell us in the chat who you'd go with. If Man United... If we're going to get serious here, if Man United are going to replace Ten Hag, you cannot go for another... It might work. You've got to go for
it. No, but that is every manager, isn't it? Pep Guardiola.
No, you don't Let me finish. They need to go for a personality that takes no shit and will just walk. You know, he won't do it, but, you know, people keep talking about Emery. I don't think Emery would be a bad person, but it's Manchester United. You've got to bring in a personality manager.
Like, you had personality managers.
No, well, that's
who's
what I mean.
The most, yeah, and Ten Hag's been more successful for them.
I know. I don't think anything's going to work.
Well, something's got to work.
But I just would, you know, I don't want Eddie Howe, because Eddie Howe just stand there with a smile and that twat next to him going, look at my suntan. What's his name? You no, love
don't,
him. You
don't
love
be
him.
Bringing Tindall down.
Yeah,
Jason
he'd be there.
Tindall.
He'd be there.
He was rocking the new wear at the weekend. He looked absolutely phenomenal.
I don't want that prat anywhere near
our technical
box. What about
Tindall as main manager?
No. But, yeah, I don't know where United are.
Anyway, sorry, that was all coming on from the point, because Newcastle United have gone...
Give it to Ange.
Give it to Ange to play against Manchester City.
Nagelsmann would be interesting. What's he up to? German coach, he won't take it.
There's got to be options.
It makes
out
me laugh
there.
When people... This is... We're going to talk about Chelsea now. This makes me laugh. Like, Cole Palmer scores 4 goals for Chelsea, and there were genuinely big Man United Twitter accounts after the game going, he's the heir to Bruno's throne. And I'm like, oh my God, the delusion is incredible. I don't think Man United have got a chance of getting Cole Palmer, but it's the same people are going, go and get Zidane. Like, he's not been sat on his arse for 3 years and probably been offered every job in football and gone, you know what, I'm absolutely minted. I don't need that shit. No, I don't need that shit. But it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
But the thing we talked about at the end of last year, Ineos coming in, it's like they've got to be clear that this is a 3-year plan. You know, so be like...
You don't get 3 years at United.
No, I'm not saying with the manager, but I'm just saying that the way they're building the club. So they've put everything into Erik ten Hag now, but really we don't believe that because you've gone flirting with another manager. So I think they've got enough to blame. We've talked enough about them. Manchester
City...
Do you
know, just quickly before we move on...
Go on.
It's the road less travelled, and it's a hard road to go down because you're almost saying, look, doesn't really matter if we lose a few more, but imagine if they actually went, look, we are going to stick with Ten Hag for this season. We spent a lot of money. Yoro's not even played a game yet. We haven't had a fit left back yet. You know, there's a lot of new signings. There's a lot of young players. We sort of accepted the fact that this season was going to be a bit like this. We're sticking with this manager.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know... What's next season?
But it only works. Look,
that only works if you go, we're committing to him for 3 years.
I look at it and go, I could get my head around that. But the problem is, you're new. The players are new. The young players need time. But Ten Hag's in year three. That's the problem.
Yeah.
People won't move past the fact that he's been here for 3 years.
Yeah, but I think that's a really valid point. And
that's why I made it.
Yeah, but no, but he's had...
It only works if you've got a new manager.
But he's had so much money to spend as well. Over those 3 years.
No,
it's not like he's like Oliver Twist going asking for more. He's had more. He's pissed it up the wall.
Ultimately, it's up to Ineos, isn't it? I think he'll be sacked next Monday.
I worry about Ineos.
I think he'll be sacked next Monday. Do you?
Sacked next Monday. When's the international break?
Next Monday.
Yeah.
I think he'll be sacked next Monday. I think they could have done it today, but they're like, we've got to go to Porto on Thursday.
A lot of travelling.
Yeah. But part of me thinks, well, if you're going to do it anyway and it's going to be rude... Get the bounce now, because you might get a point out
but
of it.
I thought rude was the answer, but the more you speak about it, yeah, that horrible sort of like someone who's already in there.
Well, he's been on the training ground. He's the guy that's working
with
the strikers.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. Anyway.
One thing I know about United players is if they're down tools for one, they'll down it for another.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a Manchester United thing. That's a football thing.
No, I know. That's what I mean.
But no, but I think you level it across this, like this
group
of players.
Let's talk about Chelsea.
I'll tell you what, Mark, it's nearly October. The temperature's dropped. It's getting a little cold in here, isn't it?
Who was doing that? Tim Sherwood.
Oh, yeah.
On Sky, went, Cole Palmer's got a goal.
We're basically Tim Sherwood.
I felt like going. Not to Cole Palmer. Niall, our producer, was saying, Goldbridge, you did a clip last year that is resurfaced when you were asked about Foden or Palmer last year, and you said Palmer. It's nice to be right about something because I'm wrong about Ten Hag, apparently. Well, obviously. But yeah, fantastic at the weekend.
I think in the with the clips we've done, we've said every player it was probably a cyclical cycle going around here.
Haaland won't start for anyone, and everyone's better than Foden.
No, he's absolutely unbelievable. I think one of the other features that we've been speaking about on this podcast is modern managers not bending their sort of philosophy. Brighton playing that high line. I don't know if you saw the amount of chances that they like. I was like, oh my God, please, like. They were having an absolute field day. One of the goals, and Chelsea did it. Sanchez is in there for Pratt of the Week for me. But yeah, Cole Palmer, let's focus on the brilliance. The free kick, the finishing, the way he took the ball for that first one, it was sort of behind him, wasn't it? And he dragged it in. hit the post as well. I mean, absolutely brilliant. And if it's Lee Carsley's England going forward, Cole Palmer's got to be at the centre of it.
I was looking at some stuff over the weekend, nice. And they were saying about how Palmer, you know, he's good, but, you know, you've got to give him time. And I was like, how much more time do you want to give him? Chelsea were very, very unstable last year, yeah. And he scored loads of goals. He scored 4 goals in the first half. Like, there's nothing about waiting to see with him. He's a fantastic player. Fantastic player, unbelievable player. Getting to the point where, I'm not saying he's like Ronaldo was at United at the start when he was scoring loads and loads of goals, but he certainly is Chelsea's focal point. And he's the guy that's sort of, I mean, the funny thing about Chelsea is it's so good if you're a Chelsea fan, because against Bournemouth probably should have beat you. Against West Ham, it was very equal, but you won comfortably. And against Brighton, it was very equal, but they were winning 4-2 at half-time. So they're ridiculously clinical and they're defending well. But they're not like 70% possession and 100 shots. You know, they're not at that stage yet. But what they are at is they're comfortably winning games that, you know, when you actually watch them, the opposition are giving them a game. So I think that this is the importance of growth and Cole Palmer. And I think that they've got Forest next weekend at home where you'd expect them to win. And then after the international break is when I think they play like Liverpool and Arsenal. I mean, it's going to be I'm very excited to see Chelsea play those games, because that's where you really measure yourself. Because where do you pitch Chelsea at the moment? You're sort of thinking, ooh, they could be a shout for fourth, yeah.
And Maresca came out in the post-match interview, because the goals that they conceded were both mistakes. And I've been thinking this a little bit about Blues, obviously down in League One. But if the goals that you're conceding are from those sort of mistakes, it's almost like a positive, because hopefully the way they're tracking, those mistakes will be eliminated. And then the only way you're conceding is through your own mistakes. So like Sanchez coming out and having head loss and trying to absolutely Superman punch someone, and then they gave the ball away from passing.
So, we spoke about it last week. So many goals in the Premier League again this weekend.
Have you seen the Blues one from the weekend?
They do it as well, playing out from the back.
Keeper's on the line, gets tackled.
Yeah,
goes in.
I don't know what you do about it. I mean, it just needs to be an evolution of football. But
you've got to just be clinical in your thinking.
So many teams are conceding goals from playing out from the back that it's like the definition of insanity. You've got to mix it up. Yeah. Sometimes just put it in the channels.
Do you think we owe Maresca an apology? Because what he's done in this short turnaround is like he's really gone out and said, right, this is my 25. They're all going. These are the players that I want, and these are the players that are playing, and he's got a tune out of a squad that, you know, looks like a Royal Rumble every time that's going out there. So I think he's done really well comparatively, an inexperienced manager.
I wouldn't want to jinx him. It's early days. Look at Ange at the start of last season. They did really, really well, and then they fell away. I think Chelsea fans know that they're a very unstable football club still, but I think at the moment he's probably done what a lot of people didn't predict. Mainly Chelsea fans didn't predict. So he's brought some stability. Maybe there's a bit of a kick on from what Podge was building. Poch, not Podge. I'm not calling him fat. And they did. Look, Chelsea at the moment, one to watch, definitely.
One to watch then. We spoke about Cole Palmer. If it's not Phil Foden, who are you having? Cole Palmer or Bukayo Saka?
Oh, that's a good one.
Thanks.
Cole Palmer or Saka? I'm a massive fan of Saka, so I'm going to go Saka. I'm just going to instantly answer the question and then I'm going to clarify it. I think Cole Palmer is amazing, but I think sometimes you've got to look at longevity as well. I think Saka has sort of been the focal point. I think there's big similarities, and a lot of people would say Cole Palmer, and I get that. I like both players, but I think what Palmer's doing for Chelsea is what Saka's done for Arsenal for probably 3 or 4 years. That Arsenal team wasn't actually very good, and Saka has always been the consistent player in that growth of that dynasty, if you would call it that. So I'd say Saka based on longevity, but it's not going to be too long before we're going to, if Cole Palmer keeps riding the trajectory graph that he is, then maybe even in 6 months it'll be Palmer.
Lovely stuff. I'd take them both. What was I going to say there? We've had lots of super chats in just before. I wanted to chat a little bit about Arsenal, because we need to talk about the title race, because it was in the balance for a couple of minutes, wasn't it? Matthew Shoebrook, thank you for your donation. He says, love how down-to-earth Slot is at the moment, praises his players, but accepts the fact that Liverpool have quite favourable fixtures and still wants more from the team, as well as setting out his objectives. Jack says, we missed his super chat. We'll find that. Thank you, Aaron, for your one. Who do you replace Ten Hag with? I think we've spoke about that. So Will is conveniently going to ignore Ndidi kicking the ball away for the second yellow skip tackle tackle for a second yellow and Justin Deli start and play. Just relax, mate. You won 4-2. Maybe just thanks for your super chat. Robert McCormack says about the lino. David Blair, son of Tony, says Spurs fan here. Ten Hag for management. Thank you. Jay says Zidane. There's too many super chats, Mark. Mark, you need to take a break. You're in denial, says Nelly. Thanks for your super chat.
I've never been to Egypt.
Denial. Wow, that's very good. There's a lot more. We'll read them at the
what
end.
What am I in denial about?
Just take the joke. You don't rise to that. You won that. You've done really well there.
I know. I've done that thing where you say winner stay, you know, last next goal wins, and I've gone, let's play again.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about Arsenal because, yeah, the title race is well and truly on. Manchester City dropping points. Arsenal winning late. We absolutely love to see it.
Oh, I'm so happy Arsenal won.
And so
many people were like, oh, Arsenal fan. I'm like, no, football fan. Yeah. You know, Man City winning the league.
Saving football fan.
Man City winning the league again is not what anybody wants to see apart from Man City fans. Fine. But Arsenal drawing to Leicester when they absolutely... I look, you know, when it was 2-2, I put a screenshot of the stats. The shots. Arsenal would have they're the worst. Sometimes you'd rather lose a game than draw something like that. And you know you can't get those 2 points back all season. And you know you're going to think about it all season. So it was absolutely imperative that Arsenal won it. So I was very happy that they did. Whether it was deserved or not, well, it obviously was. They were the better team. I think those are the sort of games that, you know, keep you in a title race. They had to win that. You don't go to City, get a point with 10 men and then draw to Leicester at home. So absolutely essential that they won it.
And that's the ones that I've been worried about, isn't it? We spoke about the Brightons. Didn't expect Leicester. I mean, James Justin scored in what is a Pavard-esque goal, like turning up like that. But they overcome it and hopefully, like, just focus on that and build because they need to be keeping the pressure on.
Well, it just shows you can slip up at any time in this league.
Yeah.
I mean...
an Arsenal shirt.
But, you know... this is the problem with the relegated teams. You look at, you know, Leicester, very close to an amazing point. Southampton are probably playing Bournemouth tonight. Ipswich, good points against Villa. But I keep telling you this.
No, it's not enough.
It is. It's not enough.
Villa, probably one of your favourites for the top four.
Yeah, it's a great point. But
exactly.
But you've got to...
Liam Delap.
Where are the wins coming from?
Who's that lad that said Liam Delap was top 10 striker? I mean, he's been proven right.
Look, all I'm saying is Ipswich and Leicester need to stop drawing or having, you know, unlucky losses.
Yeah.
They've got to start winning.
But Palace haven't won a game. Everton have literally just won their first
game. That's why they need to start winning.
Wolves haven't won a game.
Wolves will be fine.
I
don't understand what's going on.
More journalists messaging me going, you're on the board at Wolves or something.
Wolves have had a very tough start to the season.
Wolves have had an absolutely horrendous start to the season.
They've got to put the ball in the back of the net. I mean, very quickly on Liverpool, made light work of Wolves, but Wolves did play as well as I think they could do. I just think Liverpool at the moment that Forest loss was so good for them. To lose
right
that
time.
Game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wake up.
They're top of the league.
Yeah.
If you'd said to Slot at the start of the season, you're going to lose to Forest, but be top of the league after six games. You go, yeah.
And win away at the San Siro.
Yeah, he'd go, and win at Old Trafford. He'd say, I'll take that because I need to lose to know what this team's all about. And then I'm top of the league
and
as
also,
well.
Pratt of the week for me, just a nomination, Konate.
I think if Liverpool played Man City now, they'd beat them.
Really?
I think now is the time for Liverpool to play Man City.
Yeah, no, I see where you're coming from.
I think they beat them.
Because I was going to say about Newcastle is that's without Isak, who's their leading man. Mm. I know his form's been bad this year, but Eddie Howe's had to rejig that system, put Gordon through the middle, and they've still managed to go and get a result.
Let's play this game very, very quickly. If Liverpool played Man City now, who would win?
Liverpool.
I agree. If Liverpool played Arsenal now, who would win?
Ooh, Arsenal.
I think a draw. If Liverpool played Chelsea right now, who would win?
Liverpool.
Yeah, I agree. If Liverpool played Man United now, who would win?
Liverpool.
Man United. Definitely. United! 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 Ten Hag in! United! It was good up until that point.
Soon, isn't it?
You're the Liverpool fan, Noel.
Yeah. Who lied about it for 3 months.
Yeah. Just embrace it, mate. Embrace it.
Liverpool versus Man City is the 1st of December. Remember. So we were speaking about Arsenal. Great to see that title race going. Big shout out for the keeper. My God, absolute Roy the Rovers performance.
Leicester's keeper, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Some of the saves.
I feel like we've missed somebody that we're going to get in trouble about. Obviously, Liverpool have had a bit of there. Arsenal have had a glow up. Chelsea have had a glow up.
Man City.
Spurs we've given a glow up to. Man City don't get one.
Arsenal glow up.
I feel like we've missed somebody.
Villa drew. Brighton. I said at the start of the season, I worry about Brighton.
What did Brighton do? Lost to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you know what? Brighton, we like to talk about everybody here. I must admit, I stayed quiet about Brighton because I watched Brighton play Man United's second game of the season and United should have won.
Yeah.
We definitely shouldn't have lost.
They're basically not one in four. But
and
then...
they drew it home to like Forest and Ipswich, didn't they?
Brentford, Ipswich. Yeah. No.
I think some people jumped on the Brighton. Oh, new manager, he's only 21.
I did.
Yeah.
I just feel like it has to run out at some point, but
I don't think they know a lot more. You know what? To be fair to Brighton, young manager, new manager, and they've bought a lot of talent, and it doesn't happen straight away.
No, Ipswich 15th at the moment.
They're not going to get relegated, are they?
Ipswich.
No, Ipswich will. Southampton will, and Leicester will. What big shout out, Fulham. They were brilliant against Newcastle last week. Go to Forest, who've had a good start to the season, and win there. 6 points.
It was a draw, wasn't it?
No, they beat Forest, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, 6 points from the last two games, Fulham. I mean, they
are... Oh, that was it. So I was going to put flipping Jimenez in my team.
My quintessential Premier League side. If there's one team...
Oh, I literally said this last week, you slug.
I said it last season.
No.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
I've always said that Fulham, if somebody wanted to know why is the Premier League so good, Fulham.
You are the team.
I definitely said it last season. I've always said it. You know me, if I say something, I'll just keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it.
Can't believe that.
I've obviously...
I sat here last week, I was like, the team's absolutely lovely. Iwobi.
It's not about the team, really. It's just about the strength. Like, they can...
Strengthen the team?
They can beat anybody. They can lose to anybody. You don't get Fulhams in the Bundesliga or the La Liga or Serie A. You don't get it.
Ligue 1.
You don't get Fulham in those teams. You get six or seven decent teams in the Bundesliga, same in Italy, same in Spain, but we've got teams around the mid-table.
Yeah, but hang on, you just done a video a couple of weeks saying the Premier League's dead.
Only because of Man City.
Yeah, true.
If you took Man City out of this league, it'd be like a friendship group with a knobhead in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Linda says Mark always said it will.
Yeah, she's right.
Yeah, well, Linda, I think you're on Mark's side there. And you know, no, more power
to you.
Have
you met my mum, Linda?
Huh?
Have you met my mum, Linda?
Yeah. She's always supporting. Yeah, Sean Dyche, Everton, though, I know we spoke about the challenge, but that's 4 points in a week for them.
Is that...
Nice.
Is that a good or bad result for Everton in the longer term? Because Sean Dyche, I've always said, will keep them up.
Is 3 points bad for Everton?
No, what I'm saying is he will keep them up anyway, but the football will be shit.
Yes, but what
they,
I think...
They won with two shots on target.
Yeah, brilliant.
Palace were the better team.
Oh, absolutely.
And they should have had a penalty.
And for me, Mark, that's football.
So they've scrounged a win at home keeps Dyche in charge.
The first things they need to do is get the new owners in and just have...
Sack Dyche.
No. Relax. What's Dyche done to you?
Nothing. He's like Tony Pulis. Neil Warnock.
Have Dyche for the rest of the season.
He's a legacy manager.
And do what United should have done and prepare for a manager for next season.
Yeah, I understand that. But long term, it's not best for Everton,
is it? Yeah, but I think for this season...
They were never going to go down anyway.
I think they were. The way Liam Delap was playing at the moment, mate, if he keeps scoring goals like that...
If he keeps getting equalisers for Ipswich, they could get 10 points. I'll tell you what, Everton have got a good player, and I always forget his name. Really good centre of gravity. They brought him in this summer.
The midfielder.
I think he plays as like a 10.
I think I know who you mean. The one from Marseille.
Yeah, I like him.
And McNeil's back on form.
McNeil's a good player.
Dwight McNeil, very good player.
Very, very good player. Like very, very good at Burnley. Dyche loves him.
You got Harrison McNeil, Calvert-Lewin. For me, that's quintessentially a Premier League team.
If they can get rid of like Tarkowski and play Branthwaite and
Branthwaite's
O'Brien.
Back.
Branthwaite and O'Brien.
Branthwaite started his first game of the season.
They're good centre backs though.
I think the only way is that they've got
their fullbacks
new
are old. The fullbacks are old. Yeah. And they haven't got a striker.
Ashley Young's turning into a pundit.
Man United legend.
Before we finish off with some super chats, let's have a look down in the EFL because it was...
I had another bad week. I've had a bad weekend, all right. Thank God Seb's team won and he scored.
Did he? Was it a good goal?
Yeah, took it out from the back, first touch,
really?
Ran through the middle, bang.
Like Van der Ven?
Yeah, it was like Van der Ven, actually.
Was it?
I'll call him Seb Van der Ven. He wants
name,
to be called
actually.
Seb Maguire, but I'm like, you can do better than that. It's like when he brings his missus home and I'll go, you can do better than that.
What, already?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, like in 15 years' time.
Yeah.
No.
We'll give her a chance.
She's got a lovely personality, and that's all that matters.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
That's personality. Championship. Tom Cleverley's Watford beat my beloved Sunderland 2-1. which was a sort of top of the table clash. I think he's...
That's a good result for Watford.
He set some sort of record on being unbeaten at home, which I should have researched, but I didn't. Leeds United beat Coventry 3-0. Game of the weekend is down at St Andrews. Peterborough took an early 2-0 lead, but would you believe it? The Chris Davis, Birmingham bouncing, buoyant blue boys turned it around, Mark.
What did Coventry do?
They lost 3-0 to Leeds away.
Oh, yes, tough place to go, Leeds.
Up there with Sellers Park. Yeah. Blues won 3-2. Charlton lost away at Stevenage. Notts County drew with Morecambe. Cheltenham lost and Solihull Moors drew away at Dagenham and Redbridge. How did your team do? Let us know in the chat.
Week ahead, we are start. Make sure you're listening to this on Spotify, by the way, because from Friday, we're going to record a little extra 15 minutes for the Spotify comments to get into their comments as well, because some people listen to it on Spotify. So please do that. You might want to catch some of it later. You can always listen to it when you're on a run, in a walk, in a bath, or whatever. But I think looking at the week ahead, big European week. Bayern Villa on Wednesday. Very excited about that, Villa Park. And then Arsenal PSG is on tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to as well. Champions League really gets up and running. Obviously, United, Porto. Porto. That's what they sing.
Do they?
The thing is, just going back to United, we may as well segue, sandwich it up, is that if Man United lose to Porto, he's not getting sacked after Porto, is he? Because the turnaround from Thursday to Sunday is too quick.
No, I think you've got it spot on Monday. Yeah. I can easily see him losing to Villa.
If he wins both?
I think that's...
You can't sack him for winning two.
That's a blessing and a curse.
If he wins both, he will get... Let's do this.
No.
Lose both, gets the sack. Win one, lose one, gets the sack. Win one, draw one. Oh, that's the... We can't answer that. Well, I'm not letting you answer any. Let's do this.
If Ineos are basing their decision for the future of this football club on the next two results, I think that's a worrying thing.
Did it on the FA Cup.
Why I think you've got a problem, because
I never think they should have done it on the FA Cup.
They've had so much success in other areas.
Who?
Ineos.
Where?
Cycling.
Petrochemicals.
Yeah, brilliant.
Not at Nice.
No,
the
exactly.
One place
yeah.
that would be relevant.
Yeah, so when it's come to football, I think, I don't think it's, I do worry. I do worry a lot. Wes, let's just get the super chats that weren't mentioned. Wesley said, don't start with this sacking crap. There is no other manager about. Trust the process and stop promoting this sacking. It's utterly ridiculous. Nelly says, Mark, I don't know what kind of powerful voodoo magic spell Ten Hag put on you, mate, but you finally are waking up and facing reality. Welcome up. And that just shows the difference in opinion, and opinion makes the world go round. Where do you think we'd finish under Southgate? That's a great question. I think Will should drink some water.
I wouldn't know, because I wouldn't watch.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'd get a tent outside Old Trafford and just be like that guy that does it at, I don't know whether he still does it at Westminster.
Oh, about the, what was it? Was that the war in Iraq he started with originally?
Must have been, yeah. I'd do it about Southgate. And I think we know what the real quiz is.
Yeah. Constantine says, will you do a Bournemouth-Southampton watch-along?
No. Absolutely, categorically no.
After the weekend I've had.
I don't even know if I'm going to do EAFC this afternoon, to be honest. I'm a broken man.
I'm more excited for Graham Potter's in the studio tonight.
I was going
tonight.
To put my hood up, but Will said don't do it.
It's fine to do it.
I feel broken.
You look like a
but
Jedi.
But this is what football... You know what? We can't have the highs if we don't have the lows.
Exactly.
I am a broken...
20 million down the drain. Jay Stansfield scores again.
I left the podcast on Friday, what did I say to you in the corridor on the way out? I just hope we don't lose, because I can't be doing with another miserable week.
Yeah.
God, you clearly don't support Man United.
He's got all his attention on St Andrews.
You don't exist.
Did we walk on the moon? Let's get involved. What was I going to say? I'll be there St Andrews on Tuesday to see if we can win seven wins in a row.
Faye says Mark won't admit he was wrong. Ridiculous.
Right, no.
No.
No, you've done well today.
Let him speak. Let him speak. I will not admit I was wrong, because being wrong is not a crime. Everybody is wrong about loads of things. I was right about Fulham. You were wrong. I was right. I'll be right about Wolves. You'll be wrong. I was right about Cole Palmer against Foden. Foden was wrong. And also, I will never apologise for backing my manager and supporting my club.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'll tell you what, all those Arsenal fans who said Arteta out, you were wrong.
Yeah.
I was right. I said Arteta in.
Do you think Ten Hag will be as successful as Arteta?
I'm broken.
Exactly.
I'm a broken man.
And that's because of Erik ten Hag, and I think that's a perfect place to...
Think about all the people who get married and then come home from work after a hard day's work, and there she is getting absolutely nailed by...
You bring a lot of like references like this.
But they were wrong.
But
they're broken. They're broken, but they are wrong.
So like your neighbours, you
know,
missus.
People, I don't know what society we live in where being wrong is like somehow a crime. Like I'd love to. Can we get the person on who was never wrong?
Yeah.
Today,
is that right? Yeah.
Today on the One Show, we've got John Carroll Gees. He's never been wrong in his whole life. Have you? No.
Not you know, but Bob Carroll Gees.
Yeah.
And that's
spit the dog, Carragher.
Whoa, steady on that.
Too far.
Right, let's go before everything bad happens.
Hull says it depends who they're getting nailed by. If you're into cuckold, it could be quite
a good
you
mentioned
end to
a lot
day.
About your neighbour and stuff like that.
No, you've been peeping.
You've
been peeping.
You did. About, you getting a about getting a drilling when you were talking about Cole Palmer and then expecting you to come round. You've been peeping.
That was on something else.
Yeah.
Right, there is watch alongs on this channel tomorrow night and Wednesday night. PSG, Arsenal, and Villa against Bayern Munich. Yeah,
lovely stuff.
Who do you think wins that?
Bayern Munich. Who do you think wins that? Spoiler alert. Bayern Munich, Harry Kane hat trick. 20 million down the drain. Jay Stansfield scores again.
Flip this up because I can't wait for Villa to beat Bayern Munich.
Oh, God.
I love Villa to give absolutely everything for that. Like you know, don't think about your game at the weekend. Just give everything in
sure
that Bayern Munich game. Every last bead of sweat.
And that's the problem you got because you got Christian Eriksen coming out going, we're not giving our all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd love Villa to beat Bayern.
Well, I'm glad Spurs beat
I'd bloody love it if they beat them. Thanks everyone for watching. Absolute legends. We're on the United Stand live at 2. We've got lots of content on here as always. If you're on Spotify, go and give us a listen on there as well. Thank you very much to Will and Niall.
Thank
you.
Cheers,
more importantly,
everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.